the record button, hit hold.
Okay, anybody got anything? Anything else, like announcement-wise, or she's making the fish lips thing? I'm like, whoa. Yes, sir.
I apologize for being noisy last Sunday when we FaceTimed.
Oh, it was all good.
Oh.
Why?
It was such a big distraction.
We realized that we weren't on view. I'm like, oh, where do we park?
I just told Paige, I'm like, hey, could you just turn the volume down? That's all I said. But
I felt like we probably should have had a
report. Oh, no, it's all good. Don't worry about it. No, it's cool. So there were a couple things that I brought up last week. I did tell you that first week of the month, so that would be like next week, you know, we will take a little bit of time at the beginning of class and just kind of, hey, if you got anything that's, you know, pressing prayer-wise, not even really pressing, just what's going on in your life, I want to take some time, like the beginning of each month, just so everybody kind of knows, that way we know how to gossip about you, right? Not really. I want to know how to pray for you guys. And so there were a couple things last week that I did bring up that were kind of pressing. And so Nick Laverne's brother was in a not-so-good, not that any car wreck is a good one, but as a pretty not-so-good car accident. He did survive. Nick's actually out there right now. He drove out Friday. And so praise the Lord for that. I think prayer went, just pray for my biggest prayer the whole time, and even now is, you know, Nick's out there ministering to his family. So just, you know, pray about that. It was kind of a shocking type of deal. So anyway, praise the Lord for that. And then also we were praying for Meredith's aunt, and I don't know if there's any kind of update there other than just keep praying that...
they found that the tumor was not cancer.
Oh, praise the Lord.
...to get a full hysterectomy, and on Saturday she surprisingly lost her ability to walk, and they still don't know why. They sent her to physical therapy to try to fix it, but it's causing her to...
Somebody wants to get pushed around in a wheelchair. Yeah. No, I'm totally kidding. No, well, praise the Lord, because, you know, as far as I knew, so awesome. God's good. So, all right, anybody else got anything pressing? You know, or if not, we'll just spend some time next week talking about it. But, all right, pray for Abby to keep growing this baby. So,
6 more weeks.
6 more? It was 7 last week. It's crazy how that works. Huh?
Okay, the
new
date is like super.
Okay, so.
I'm crossing
my shoulders. All right, well. Let's pray and we'll get going. I want to wrap some stuff up today. So let's pray. Father God, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for just the Passpoint class and being able to come in and just hang out and laugh. And Lord, we're not just friends, but we're family. And Lord, it's only because of your word and the relationship we have with you that any of us really have any common bond at all. So Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us, not just today, but every day, that you would just reveal your word to us more every day as we get into it. And Lord, I pray that you would just be manifest in our lives. So we do pray for Meredith's aunt, Lord. You just continue to just be with the doctors that are working on that, Lord. You also pray for Nick's brother and just Nick's testimony as he's out there ministering to his family. And Lord, I pray that we would just continue to show ourselves faithful and fruitful to your body. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so one more thing before we get into this is has everybody or nobody bailed on their reading? How's everybody doing on their... where are we supposed to be at, Paige? Where are we at?
Is today the 28th?
Today is
28th. Second Chronicles. I'm getting real close.
Are you?
Yeah. I had a good binge listening session.
Awesome. All right. Well, cool. Keep going. I know sometimes it's like, wow, this is... But just press through. Just be in it. Daily, right? And so that's the thing. It's not about being where we're at, although, you know, if you want to be like the cool kids, you would be where we're at. But I'm just not one of the cool kids right now because I'm behind. But it's more just being in the Word every day and seeing what God's got for you. And, you know, some of the times we spent a lot of time in certain books of the Bible, and I've read this book several times and I've read that. But then there's other things that's like, wow, I've never even read this. And so I think God's got a purpose in it. So if you have questions, write them down, bring them to me, ask me, and I'll start kind of going through those and things that come up. There's been even things that have come up this time through it for me, and it's just like, huh, and spend a little more time in it. So, all right, anyway, first Samuel, again, here we are again.
Oh, it's Samuel book.
First Samuel chapter 17. We're going to finish up what I I started, I don't even know, a month ago. Anyway, I don't know when it was. So we took a break last week because God had some cool stuff out of the story of the resurrection. If you missed that, go back and listen to it. It was just kind of pointed, God speaking to my heart. So anyway, 1 Samuel chapter 17, we've been going through the story of David and Goliath. And so everybody knows this story. I mean, shoot, even if you're lost and you've never been to church, you know the story of David and Goliath because it's just a reference we use. It's a pop culture reference. But actually, it's more than that. And so I don't have a ton of time to go back through what we've already been through. I'll hit them. But so there were six lies that the adversary wants you to believe as we went through the story. And then we've transitioned from there to what was six promises or something. I'd have to get back and see exactly what I called them. What was it, Abby?
Six promises we need to remember.
Yeah, six promises we need to remember. Only six grew into seven as I was working this morning. So it's all good. You can just like...
She asked specifically...
It's okay. But you said there was only three more, and I got to look in, and we'd already done three of them. So really, when he had... Wait a minute. No, we'd already done four of them. It's all good. I don't have a ton to say, so...
No, we've done three.
Huh?
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
We've only done three.
No, I did a fourth one. You guys just didn't listen.
The fourth one was that you promised you were going to finish
them. Oh.
That was your promise.
All right, well, we're going to get to it, so it's all good. So, okay, the first one. I don't have time to read through the whole story, so you guys know, but the first lie that the adversary wants you to believe is you don't measure up. Remember, David was like, I'm not big enough, I'm not strong enough. None of the army felt like that they could go and stand toe-to-toe with this giant. You don't measure up. And the second lie in verse 12 to 19 was, you do not belong here. David wanted to go to the battle, but the adversary wants you to think that you don't even belong here. You don't belong in this battle. You don't belong here. You're not smart enough. You're not handsome enough. You're not, I don't even know the word I want to use. You're not educated enough. You're not anything. You're just not enough. Right? It doesn't matter. You fill in the blank. Whatever your insecurity is, whatever it is, I'm not big enough. I'm not strong enough to go to this battle. I'm not smart enough to go talk to that person. You don't belong here. That's what the adversary wants you to believe. He wants you to believe that, you know what? I'm going to defeat you in your mind before you ever even get to the battle. You don't belong here. Number three was that this battle is for somebody else. So you might finally decide that, okay, I could do it. I'm big enough, right? Like, Brady ain't nothing to me. He's a little guy. But that's not my battle to fight. That's somebody else's. The pastor will take care of that. My wife will take care of that. It's laundry. I don't deal with that. Right? You want to talk about a battle? It's the laundry at my house. It's like, my kids wear more clothes than... I'm like, can you guys, like, not go through so many clothes?
They should change his clothes a few times.
And here's the problem. I think I'm talking to myself because my kids do their own laundry, so... No, so this battle's for somebody else. It's not for me. I don't have to. I could. And I mean, really, I could, but I just, it's for somebody else. I'll let Jason take care of it. He's the class teacher, right? I'll let Chris take care of it. He's the project manager, right? I'll let this person do it because it's their job. I'll let that person do it because it's their job. Guess what? If it's in your hand to do good, do it. That's what the Bible says. I just can't think of where it's at, but it's somewhere. It says that if it's in our hand to do good, then do it. Why are we always wanting to point, well, that's somebody else's job? And we'll sit there and we'll watch this thing. We'll watch the plane crash straight to the ground and say, yep, told you so. But you didn't do nothing about it. If it's in your hand to do good, do it. This battle's for somebody else. Number four. So you might decide, okay, I will do something. And I'm going to go. And so get off my back. I'm going to go and do something. And then here's what the adversary will try to tell you through other people. Your motivations are wrong. The only reason you want to be here is because you want glory for it. The only reason you want to be here is because you're trying to manipulate it. They will try to twist and turn everything that you're doing, and they'll try to convince you that your motivations are all wrong. Like, you don't even belong here, right? All the lies just kind of build on top of each other. Your motivations are wrong. Yeah, I know you were going to do it, but it's all wrong, right? It's all wrong. And then the last two was... There's nothing worth fighting for. That's what the world wants to tell you. That there is absolutely nothing that's really worth fighting for. You know, your marriage starts going south, just get a divorce and get a new one. It's easier, right? Your job starts going bad, that's fine. Just quit and go get a new job. No, Jason didn't tell you to do nothing. Hold the phone. That's the easier thing. There's nothing worth fighting for. You know, and you know what? I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm not like a confrontational kind of guy. I avoid confrontation. It's just that it's in my nature. You're either a fight or a flight type of person. I'm a flight type of person because it's just not worth it to me. But at the end of the day, there has to be something you're worth fighting for, that you're worth standing for. You know, as far as doctrinal things, you need to have a few things that you're willing to say, okay, whatever, I'm not going to argue with you about that. But then there's got to be certain things that are like, now hang on a minute. You said what? That's not right. You know, talk about my wife, talk about my kids, talk about my God like that. No, we're not going to do that. And so there's got to be something that is worth fighting for, because the adversary wants to tell you that there's nothing worth fighting for. And the last lie that he wants you to believe is, you know, at the end of the day, you can't do this. Fine, you might want to. You might think you can, but I'm here to tell you, you can't. You just can't. It's not possible. It's not possible. So those are the six lies, and here's seven promises. Seven promises.
You only can review the first six.
that we need to remember as we pick back up in the story, right? And so, how many? You sure we only got through three?
Yes.
Because I went through this morning, and I'm like, I'm positive I did the fourth one. So that's why I added another one. Yeah. Okay. So here's the first one. All previous battles have prepared me for this. All previous battles have prepared me for this. You go to verse 34, and David talks to Saul, and he's like, hey, I'm going to go do this, and here's why. Because, hey, there was this one time that a bear came, and I took care of him. There was another time this lion came, and I took care of him, because I was just taking care of the sheep, so I ain't scared of this guy. And so, you know, that's paraphrasing what he said, but at the end of the day, he looks at it, and he says, everything that has brought me to this point where I just want you to go shake somebody's hand in the foyer that you've never done before. Like, everything that you've ever done has brought you to this point. Just take that next step. Whatever it is, all previous battles have prepared me for this. Just understand that, believe it or not, now I know this is crazy, God is He's working in your life. He is growing you step by step. You know, when Abby has the baby, he's not just, or she is not going to just jump up and start walking. It doesn't happen like that.
What?
I know, it's crazy. It's crazy. But there are certain things that will be ingrained in her, like the ability to say no. Like, they know that no matter what. But anyway, there has to be a growing process, a little bit at a time. God will give you the opportunity to take this step and take this step and grow and do this and do that. And so that is, you have to understand that everything that God has brought you through, whether it be ministry, whether it be Bible teaching, whether it be real life circumstance, it has brought you to a point where you know what you now know. You know, it's not just like, well, how do I get into this predicament? I have no idea how to get out of it. Everything that you've done has got you to this point. Has brought all previous battles prepared me for this. And then verse 38 to 40. The second promise you need to remember is that the only weapon you need, it's not a sword that's 10 sizes too big, right? It's right here in your hand, right? It's right here in your hand. It is the Bible. The only weapon that you need, Brady picks up his Bible very quickly, it's right here in your hand. You've already got it. You don't need a bunch of extra training. Now, I'm not saying that it's bad to go get trained up, right? Sometimes God will call you to get trained up for something. But at the end of the day, the only thing that you need, the only thing that you have to have, we're like on number seven already. The only thing that you need is right here in your hands. I know I did. It's right here. That look.
Was that verse 48
to what? That is 38 to 40. The only weapon you need is already in your hand. He's like, I don't need all this stuff. I don't need all this armor. I don't need this stuff. Like, all I can do is walk around like this. I mean, I'm just going to take what I got. I got this sling and I got these stones. That's all I got. That's all I need.
Number two, Larry.
Yeah. You have to know that if I'm talking, I'm probably not lying, but not. Oh, I realized after I started saying that, it probably doesn't sound the best, but I'm probably verse number three. Number three, the words of the enemy are only words. This guy could talk a mean talk. Goliath's like, you know, he had plenty to say. I work with some guys that got plenty to say. But I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure all they got is stuff to say. I work with some guys, I'm like, I know that what you're saying, it's got to be true, because I couldn't make something like that up. I mean, I couldn't make a story like that up. Okay, but they're only words. You know what words can do to you? Well, if you're not sober with the Word of God, they can tear you apart. Ask Jody about April 1st last year. Okay, but I didn't even think about that until right now. I looked back there, but and I'm not calling you unsober. That wasn't really mean, but it was really funny as well. It was just for a short amount of time.
A full hour of crying. How was that a short period of time?
You weren't supposed to cry. Okay, moving on. Hey, I didn't send that text. Just threw my wife right under the bus for that one.
Just blame it on Eve there, Adam.
Hey. The words of the enemy are only... It doesn't matter what somebody's got to say about you. If you're grounded in the Word of God, you can understand that at the end of the day, I'm just going to take what God's got to say and I'm going to roll with it. You know what? You can call me whatever you want. You can say whatever you want about me. You know what the Bible says? It says that I'm a child of the King. It says that I am victorious. It says that I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengtheneth me. So you can say whatever you want. At the end of the day, the words of the enemy are only words. And so here's number four, even though I know I've already told you guys this one, we'll pick it up here, just because you guys think we haven't done it already. Number four in verse 45, here's what David's got to say. Then said David to the Philistine. So the Goliath has just been talking a bunch of smack, right? He says, then said David to the Philistine, I've got some smack to talk myself. Thou comest with me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee... in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and I will take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you under our hands. See, he's got some smack of his own to talk. But you know what he says? The key thing in there that you need to hear and the next promise that you need to know is at the end of the day, no matter what the battle is the Lord's. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if the dispute you're having with your spouse right now, you know what that battle is? It's the Lord's. It doesn't matter if it's a problem at work. You know what that battle is? It's the Lord's. It doesn't matter if it's an issue in the ministry. It doesn't matter if God's calling you to do something and you just don't want to do it. It doesn't matter what it is that you're struggling with. You know what it is? It's the Lord's. And if you don't treat it like that, then you've got a really bad case of the, I got this, God. I got this, God. Because that's what I do. I'm like, well, that's just a little thing. I'll take care of that one. I'll call you. I'll call in the big guns when I need the big guns. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, I just tripped on the little thing. And so the battle is the Lord's. At the end of the day, we have to know that the battle is the Lord's. No matter what, the battle is the Lord's. It doesn't matter. David's like, hey, Goliath, at the end of the day, you can talk all the smack you want. You can say whatever you want about me. But here's the deal. It says, you have defiled my God. And here's what I want you to do. He says that all in the earth may know, that they might not think, that they might not see. You know, because sometimes we see things and we still don't know them. He says that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. He says, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. He doesn't say, hey, come here, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to take care of you. He says, God's going to take care of this, because at the end of the day, the battle is the Lord's. It doesn't matter what it is that you're going through, or what it is that you might be like, I'm not going through anything. Okay, well, awesome. You probably will at some point. You know, Abby, when you go to have this baby, Chris, you just need to remember, the battle is the Lord's. Doesn't matter what it is. I say that, you know, tongue in cheek. But if we just had this mindset on everything that we came across, instead we're like, no, this has nothing to do with... Yeah, I'm just throwing this out there. If you're a Christian, every problem you got is the Lord's. You might be like, no, this has nothing to do with... No, I'm just telling you, that, hey, Christian, if you've got an issue, if you've got a problem, if you've got a struggle, if you've got anything, well, my kids are back talking. Well, guess what? Mine do too. The battle is the Lord's. It doesn't matter what it is. It does not matter what it is. The battle is God's. And that's how you have to look at it. Because if you don't, then what you're doing is exactly what we like to do. We say, I got this, God. I'll call you in when I need you. I don't read that anywhere in the Bible. Where somebody was like, hey, I'll just take care of this one, God. No, it doesn't. Not that it turned out well anyway. It doesn't ever say that. The battle is the Lord's, no matter what. Verse 48, here's the next one. This is the extra one I added. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose. So we've spent 47 verses building up to this battle. Like, it better be a good one, right? We've spent a lot of time building up to this. And it came to pass... How far am I going? When the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. He's not scared at all. He's like running into this thing. Everything he does, he's running. He ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead. He must have some kind of weird slingshot, that's all I'm saying. And he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed against the... What?
Sorry, it's a rich rocket.
Yes. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. We'll just stop right there. Here's the next promise that you need to remember. And I totally read over this before. I mean, I was going to add it in, but like I was reading through this again this morning, and I'm like, we spent 47 verses talking this battle up. How great it was going to be. How epic it was going to be, right? That's the word everybody likes to use. It's going to be epic, right? The battle, here's your next promise. The battle is always 10 times worse in your mind. The battle is always, and you could put 100 times, I don't care. I don't know your mind, but it's always worse in your mind. We've spent 47 verses talking about how crazy this is going to be, how big this guy is, how everything, you're not good enough, you can't do this, all these different things. We've spent all this time. It's a whole lot worse than it ended up being. It took him like 2.5 verses and he's done. That's all it took. Now, you can reference the fact, and I'm sure you've heard this while somebody else was teaching through it. It doesn't say how back in the day, you know, David took care of the lion and the bear, but I'm just going to guess that since that's the first thing he went to when there was a giant coming after him, that's probably how he took care of the lion and the bear as well. Go with what you know. Go with what you know. At the end of the day, go with what you know. You might be like, I don't know enough of the Bible to tell anybody. Well, go with what you know. I know John 3:16. That's a good one to start with. Go, I don't even know that. Well, go with what you know. You know your testimony, don't you? I think you must have been there when God saved you. Go with that. Go with what you know is going to work. And then guess what? God will give you another one, and another one, and another one. Well, I'm not smart enough. I don't know enough about the Bible to do that. I can't teach. I can't share a devotion. Go with what you know. Tell me a story of how God changed your life. That's going to be the best story you've ever got to tell anyway. I'm just saying. That's what I would do, but you guys get tired of hearing it after, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. So go with what you know. The battle's always worse in our minds. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says we have to be casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The adversary will throw all kinds of, we call them false imaginations. Well, I wonder what my husband's really doing while he's gone all day at work. I wonder what my wife's really doing while she's gone traveling. I wonder what this person's doing. I wonder what that person thinks of me. I wonder what... Those are all false imaginations. That's exactly what that is. And it says that we're supposed to cast down those imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What are you supposed to compare those to? This right here. That's what it says. It says, take those thoughts, those things that you're dreaming up, that could be happening. You're right, they could be. Who cares? It says to compare those things against the knowledge of God. And then see what it boils down to. Throw them all in a pot, simmer them down, see what you got. Right? Like, I don't even know what that means, but I see my wife throw stuff in a pot and cook them down into something good all the time. Right? I struggled cooking some sausage this morning. I'm telling you. I don't know nothing, but you're supposed to take those things and compare them to this and then see what you've got left. And bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So once you compare them to this book and you say, you know what? That's not what the Word of God says. Then here's what we're going to do. We're going to bring them into captivity, meaning we're not going to let them come back. It's not going to be the same problem tomorrow. We're not going to say, because we're going to bring them into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know how you make the battle not so bad in your mind? You don't let it get like that. You take the promises of God and you treat them as what they are. They're promises. They're not like suggestions from God. They're not, hey, maybe you should do this. Hey, have you thought about this? You know, it's not that. It's, hey, you're a child of the King. Live like it. Hey, if you're a Christian, bear fruit. Those aren't suggestions. The Great Commission says, go ye therefore. It doesn't say, if you're not busy, maybe you should try. It says, go and do. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take these promises and do something with them. Not just, well, I don't know, maybe. We spent 47 verses talking about how great this battle was going to be, and you know what it came down to? I'm just going to do it. I'm going to quit thinking about it. I'm going to quit talking it up. I'm just going to do it, because God said so. And if that's the only reason you've got, man, I'm telling you, that's the only reason I need with my kids sometimes. Why? Because I said so. And then I'm like, why do I got to do that, God? And I'm like, oh yeah, because you said so. And I'm not quit using that with my kids, because then immediately God uses it on me over and over and over again. Because I said so. Proverbs 15:26 says, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. The thoughts of the wicked, they're an abomination. We got to cast those things down. We got to be done with them. Got to be done with them. All right, the next one, number 6, verse 51. Therefore David ran. He's running everywhere he goes. And stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, which tells me that Goliath didn't even have time to get his sword drawn out by the time this stone hit him in the forehead. Didn't take a whole lot of shots. He says, and he drew out the sheath thereof. Now think about this for a second. This dude was, what we talk about, probably close to 10 foot tall. Right? I'm guessing a 10-foot tall guy's got a big sword. So David might be a little guy, but he's big enough to pick this sword up. I just kind of thought that was cool as I was reading through it. He took the sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him, cut off his head therewith. Man, there's no worse way to die than get my head cut off with my own sword. Right? I don't want to do that.
I'm just saying.
Nope. Fire would be bad. Fire, not good. I'm telling you, get your head cut off with your own sword, man. That's messed up. That's messed up. He says he cut off his head therewith, and the Philistines saw their champion was dead. They fled. Huh, that's interesting. That's interesting. They were big and bad Philistines until the big guy's gone. Then what do they got left? And this guy might have some more rocks. I'm leaving now. I'm leaving now. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted. Now this is just as interesting. And pursued the Philistines until they came to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And they wounded the Philistines. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Sheremah. I don't know, however you say that. Even to Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. So he does take the armor and keep it for himself. He's like, I'm going to keep this as a token. Here's what's cool, though. And here's your sixth thing. But we're not done because there's a seventh one. Your obedience to God will be contagious. That's the promise that God wants you to know. Your obedience to God, it's contagious. You might be like, what does that mean? Or no, it's not. Or, you know, just ask me. I'll tell you.
Is it
It is. It's contagious. Don't be surprised. So this is the thing. David knew this all along. He knew this promise before it ever even happened. If I take care of this guy, these other guys, they're going to be like, hey, we can do that too. It's no different than at work. Well, we can't do that. Okay, let me show you. It's no different than with my kids. We were taking down some fences, this weekend. Like, this is what you got to do. Yeah, it just rolls right up, Dad. Right? Old barbed wire just rolls right up. Let me show you. Oh, I didn't really think it would work. Let me show you. Oh, now I'll do it. Right? But if you just tell them, hey, I'm going to sit in here and drink coffee, but I want you guys to go roll that fence up, they're going to be like, do what now? That's never going to work. You go out and you show them, and then it's like, oh, I think I can do that. Sometimes you have to show somebody how to do it. Don't be surprised. No, hear me out on this. Don't be surprised when you choose, this is you, you choose to put your head down and get busy about the work of God and stop worrying about everybody else, that before you know it, there's somebody else following you doing it. Don't be surprised that if you're like, you know what, I'm just fed up with it. I'm fed up with watching people come in and out and get preached at and leave and never get involved and never get serious about what this book says, and I'm just going to do something about it. And here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to go and say, hey, you should do something, because that doesn't work. We've tried. So that doesn't work. I'm just going to do something. I'm just going to put my head down, and I'm going to get serious about it. I'm going to get in the Word every day, and I'm going to find out where I can be the most use, and I'm just going to go, and I'm going to do it. And I'm just going to be happy about it. I'm going to keep my mouth shut, and I'm going to do it. Don't be surprised when somebody else ends up following you. Hopefully, that person is your spouse first. Hopefully, they follow you. Hopefully, they say, maybe I should have done that. I can testify this. I don't know how many times I'll get in a funk in life, and it's just like work and everything else that's going on, and it's just like I'm just doing things. I'm just doing it, because that's what you got to do. You just got to do it. And the next thing you know, my wife is, the happiest person in the world, that she gets to do laundry all day, and she gets to do dishes, and she gets to, do all this stuff. And I'm like, maybe I should just be happy with the things that God's called me to do. I don't have to do laundry. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to be happy about it. Right? And don't be surprised when you just keep your head down and you just do what God has called you to do, not for the glory of anything other than Him, that all of a sudden, just like David, you got a whole army behind you. I don't know who used this example, but I heard it in a sermon one time, and it was just like, I might not have it completely right, but when you finally decide that, you know what, God has called me right here. This is the ditch that needs dug, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to dig this ditch, because this is what God told me to do, and I'm just going to do it. So you get in there with your little shovel, your little army shovel, right? An E-tool, right? Those little army shovels. Yeah. And you're just getting after it, and you're just digging, and you're just digging. You're like, you know what, God, I'm just going to do it. And I'm just going to praise you while I do it. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to dig, and I'm going to dig, and I'm going to dig, and you're just down there, and you're just doing it. It's like, I don't know that this ditch is ever going to get dug, but I'm just going to do it, because it's what God's called me to do. And I'm just going to be happy about it. I'm just going to do it. And next thing you know, you're digging along, and you bump your hard hat, because you got to have your hard hat on. If not, you're going to get written up. You're going to get written up, and if you don't do it again, you're going to get fired, because that's the way it is, right? You bump your hard hat, and it's like, where'd you come from? Oh, I'm just down here digging. Oh, I thought I was by myself. Well, let's just keep going. You're just digging. You're just digging. Oh, at least I got somebody with me now. You were just doing it. We're not talking about it. We're just doing it. We're just doing it. The next thing you know, where'd that guy come from? I just saw you guys digging. I was like, looks like a plan. We're just going to do it. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to dig. I'm just going to go. And the next thing you know, there's a whole crew of you. And it's just like, man, isn't this a motley crew of misfits? But you know what? We're doing it for the glory of God. And we're just loving it. And we're not saying, hey, look at us, right? No, we're just here and we're doing it. You put your nose to what God's told you to do and you just do it. And you just do it. And you just do it. And when ministry gets hard, and when it's just like, man, this is pointless, you know what? Just keep digging. Just keep digging and just keep going, because that's what ministry is. Next thing you know, those people that you're bumping your head against, you're like, hey, where'd you come from? And that those are people you're ministering to. Those are disciples. They're just like, hey, I just saw what you were doing, and I wanted to do it. Well, hey, I'm just digging because that's what God told me to do. Oh, and those are disciples. And you just filled that whole ditch up with disciples. The next thing you know, you got a whole freaking church that flies out of here, and they're planting another church. You know what they're doing? They're just down there digging, and they're digging. That's what God has called us to do. And if you're like, well, I don't like to dig. Well, guess what? Who cares? That's what God said to do. Who cares? At the end of the day, we've got to... You're going to get me off on preaching about something, but we got to quit worrying about trying to meet the needs of this person and that person and that person. If that was the case, man, the walls would look like a rainbow. Because I like this color, but I like this color, but I like this color. And who knows what the carpet would look like, I'm telling you. We'd have tile over here, and who cares? We've got to quit trying to meet the needs, and I don't want to, don't hear me wrong. We need to meet the needs of the people, but not their wants. At the end of the day, it's about meeting them with their needs. Get busy about what God's called you to do. Well, I don't like doing that. That's what you were called to do. It didn't say that you were going to get saved and your life was going to be great unless you were at a certain guy's church, right? You know, you're not going to sow a seed and reap a blessing. You're not going to get saved and live your best life now. That's not the way it works. You know how it does work? You get saved and you live your life for Christ. And maybe, just maybe, you did something that was worthy enough to have crowns to throw at His feet up there. And then that's when it's going to be worth it. So, stop with the, well, I don't really want to, or that really, that ministry is not for me, or I don't like to hold kids, or I don't like the sound booth, or I don't like coming to church on Sunday. Who cares? You know what God likes? He likes you being in His Word. And you know what happens when you're in His Word every day? You start having His mind. And His mind says, hey, get involved. Read Romans 12, 1 and 2 if you don't believe me. Get in the ditch and start digging and see what happens. Get in the ditch and start digging. Your obedience is going to be contagious, right? Think about this. What happened when the Philippian jailer got saved? Anybody tell me? His entire house. It wasn't like this guy got saved and it's like, now I got to win my family. No, they were like, holy smokes. Something happened to Dad. I'm going to do it too. It says his whole house got saved. Your obedience is contagious. What happened with Cornelius? Same thing. It says the Holy Spirit didn't just come down on him. It said it came down on the house. Everybody. Your obedience is contagious. You want your ministry to thrive? Get in this book and just be faithful at it. And then before long, it's going to be like, wow, either I'm off on an island by myself, or hopefully it's a warm tropical island, or everybody's going to be following you, one or the other. And they're not following you, they're following Christ. Remember this, and we'll get to the last one. Even when people start following, keep your head down and keep serving. Don't be like, hey, yeah, okay, so now that I got three of you, I'm going to step back and be the supervisor, and I'm going to make sure you guys are digging right. That's not how that works. Keep your head down and keep serving. That's what got you where you are. If you lose your servant attitude because you're a leader now, you've totally missed it. You've totally missed it. People will never follow you. Just because you have a title, people will never follow you. A title will not get you anything. Chris, you got this new job, right? You got this new program with the Angus, the cows, right? The cows, because that's all I know about it, is Chris has got like specialty cows, and he's the leader of this division. If you're not willing to get in there, those guys ain't going to follow you. It's not how it works. That's just not how it works. It doesn't matter whether it's work-related, whether it's Christ. In the ministry, Mitchell, you can get in there and say, hey, I'm the leader. This is, you're going to be here, you're going to be here, you're going to be here. I'm going to class. You know what? People are going to be like, hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. You have to be willing to get in there and do it. You just have to. That's the way it works. And I'm just using you two, like the first two people I saw, and it's just examples, right? We can just go on around the room. But even when people start following, keep your head down and keep serving. That's what got you where you are. All right, the last one. Whew. I'm going to be done. 55. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire whose son this stripling is. I looked that word stripling up. I thought maybe it meant something really cool. It just means like little kid. You know, little guy. You know, I'm like, I thought it was like, you know, he's like a stripling young man. No, it just means he's a little guy. Just so you know. Like, there's certain times you see something that's like, this is going to be really cool. You're like, no, it's really not. Okay. 57. And David, as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. He says, carry this thing around. See this? And Saul said unto him, whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant, Jesse, the Bethlehemite. That's the end of the chapter. Just done. This is who I am. This is who I am. Here's the last one. Here's the last promise you need to remember. God doesn't need a big name. He needs somebody with big faith. God doesn't need the pastor to go do it. God doesn't need the pastor's wife to go do it. God doesn't need the missionary to go do it. God doesn't need this. You know what he needs? He needs somebody with some big faith. That's willing to say, okay, God, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. And here's how I want to finish this. Because it's easy to say, you know, yeah, David had faith. He was willing to go. He's willing to do, right? So there's an army, Israel, right? And Judah. There's an army. They're against the Philistine. The Philistine's big. No, we don't want to fight that guy. Not doing it. Any one of those guys could have stood up, went, and even just died for it. And they would have been like, that was a cool dude because he was willing to try. None of them even had the guts to go. None of them. All it would have taken was the step of faith, you know, to go and to do, obviously. But David did. So think about Saul, because this is what rolled around in my mind. Every time I read this, is what rolls around in my mind. Think about Saul. Now, if you're this far in your reading, even though we're supposed to be quite a bit farther, you would have just read this. Saul has been king for how long? Not very. You remember Israel was like, we want a king. And Samuel's like, no, you really don't. And they're like, no, we want a king. Samuel's like, no, you really don't. Yeah, we do. Okay, here you go. And if you remember, Saul, why was he chosen king? Why did they want him? He was big. He was tall. Right? And obviously God chose him. This is who you're going to use. Samuel, but he was big. He fit the mold, the form of what you think a king should be. He's a leader. He's a, you know, he's a big guy. He's like Brady. You know. Like Hulk. Hulk smash, right? He's not getting... Give me a break. You know how long I get picked on? This is like my one time that he can't say anything back. No.
Oh, ham man.
Okay, so... Think about Saul for a minute, though. He fit the mold. If anybody in Israel should have went and done it, it should have been him. He was big. He was strong. He was the guy that should have done it. And now he stands back. He watched this little kid come in. He goes in full of faith with everything that God's brought him through. And he knocks this guy out with a slingshot and a stone. And he's like, here's his head. You know, and Saul's just like, who is this kid? You know what he's really thinking? Or at least what I think he's thinking? Why didn't I do that? Man, I've been trying to get these people to get behind me, to rally behind me and follow me. And now guess what they're going to do? And it's exactly what they do. I want to follow this kid. I want to follow that guy. And he loses them right here. You want to know the quickest way to lose your ministry? Let somebody come in and start doing your job for you. You want to know the quickest way to lose your title as a leader or anything, right? Let somebody else come in and start doing what you're supposed to be doing. He should have done it to start with. He should have been like, man, God doesn't need a big name. He needs somebody with big faith. That's all he needs. He was just anointed king. It would have been the perfect opportunity for him to step up and be the king. Instead, he's like, who did it? Who's he? You know, it would have been, I'm sure he's thinking it would have been better if the guy would have been bigger at least. Because I've been like, yeah, I couldn't do it, but he was bigger than me. No. He's like, man, I should have. Whatever it is that God's got you, you know, God doesn't need you to be the perfect person for it. If he's called you to it, you are the perfect person for it. You want me to take care of kids? Yep. I don't even really like kids. Yep. Right? No, whatever it is, right? Just be willing to go and do. If you're a leader, you have to be willing to be the leader through the good and the bad. It's easy to be the leader when everything's going great. Yeah, that's great. What about when things don't go so good? How are you going to deal with it? You got to have big faith no matter what. All right, so there you go. 7 things. Man, I'm late. I'm sorry. Let's pray and we'll get out of here. I hate being late. Father God, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. I pray that you just bless the Past Point class, Lord. Bless the word that they read day in and day out, that you would just manifest yourself in their lives more and more every day. I pray that we as a class would just love on one another, that we would keep each other accountable, that we would just be the hands and feet of Jesus to each other as we reach out to others as well, Lord. And that people would look at the Passpoint class, Lord, and not think that we're something special, Lord, but just see that there's something different about us, that we are just a class unified and we want to be past the point of no return for Christ. So I pray that we would just manifest that just every day. I pray that you would just send us out this week in, as lights in a dark world, that we would just reach out to maybe one person and say, you know, hey, you should come to church with me, or hey, you should come to class with me, and just take that and just run with it, Lord. So I pray you just use us this week, be manifest in our lives, in Christ's name, amen. All right, sorry guys, I'm late. See you next week.